Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on my left today, instead of our Lancashirean co-host, who is on holiday at the moment, is instead the final third of the TCCP Three Musketeers. It is, of course, Change the Overs herself, Lucy Rees. So Lucy, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the wrap-up. I believe it's the first time you've joined us here on the T20 Blast wrap-up show. How's your day been so far?
Yeah, good. Quite quiet, but yeah, looking forward to getting along.
Oh yeah, exactly, Lucy. The weather ain't great here in England, unfortunately. I mean, the World Test Championship is finally back underway. It has been a bit of a washout so far. Apologies to any India and New Zealand fans. This massive spectacle has been ruined a bit by the weather down south. But yeah, what's the weather like in Cardiff, Lucy, in Wales? What's it like?
Yeah, it's quite sunny and quite dry. So yeah, it's quite warm enough. It'll be warm this afternoon, hopefully.
Oh, fair enough. It's not quite here in the Midlands, unfortunately. Very cloudy, a bit wet as well. It's not been great, unfortunately. But with that being said, hopefully the weather will improve. And yeah, we can finally have a conclusion to the World Test Championship final. Because, let's just say the weather may have played a bit of spoil sport this week, to say the least. But we aren't here to discuss the World Test Championship final today, are we, Lucy? We're here to talk about England and Wales's premier domestic T20 competition, of course the 2021 Vitality T20 Blast. So before we get into our analysis and key moments and discussion about this week's games, let's have a look at the 2021 Vitality Blast tables. And we will of course start with the North Group. Now currently top of the North Group are the Yorkshire Vikings on 9 points. They have a fantastic net run rate of plus 1.483. Then in second are my county, the Birmingham Bears, Warwickshire, as we call them here in Shakespeare's County, also on 9 points with an inferior net run rate. Durham are in third, also 9 points, again with an inferior net run rate to Warwickshire. In fourth are the Notts Outlaws on 8 points. In fifth are Chose County, Lancashire, the Lancashire Lightning on 8 points. In sixth are the Worcestershire Rapids on 6 points. Seventh are the Derbyshire Falcons on 4 points. Eighth are the Leicestershire Foxes on 2 points. And rounding off the North Group in ninth and final place are the Northamptonshire Steelbacks on 1 point. Then moving on to the South Group, Lucy, your county's group. The Kent Spitfires are currently leaps and bounds above everyone in the South Group. They've had a fantastic start to this year's tournament. They've won 5, lost 1, and currently find themselves top of the South Group on a total of 10 points. In second are the Sussex Sharks on 8 points. Again, the only unbeaten team in the Blast so far. So we need to keep a little bit of a close eye out on Sussex, to say the least. But they are on 8 points. In third are Surrey on 8 points as well. In fourth are Gloucestershire on 6 points. In fifth, Lucy, it's your county of Glamorgan, on 5 points. In sixth are the Essex Eagles on 5 points as well. In seventh are Somerset on 4 points. Eighth are the Hampshire Hawks on 4 points as well. And sitting in ninth place at the bottom of the South Group are currently Middlesex. So it's been an interesting start to the season, hasn't it, Lucy? I mean, would you have predicted that kind of table so far after, you know, a few games into this year's competition?
No, especially Middlesex being bottom of the South Group. I think that's quite shocking, really, to be honest.
It is. Considering they have the likes of Chris Green, Paul Sterling, Stephen Finn, who may or may not pop up in one of our segments today. They've got some fantastic players at the home of cricket, but it just hasn't quite clicked just yet. I must admit, though, Middlesex fans, very, very unlucky at Radlett against Gloss. Really, really unlucky. That last six from Ryan Higgins, and that took Gloucestershire over the DLS. Oh, that must have hurt. And then all the rain came into Radlett. That was a tough one to take as a Middlesex fan. But no, I'd agree, Lucy. Maybe Middlesex do need to find their mojo. Who knows? Anything can happen in the T20 Blast, can't it? That's the beauty of the competition, and T20 is a format. We could see a resurgence in one of the lower placed teams as the tournament does progress. But heading into today's wrap-up show then, Lucy, let's start with the North Group. And of course, to kickstart our wrap-up shows, we start with the standout batting performances of the week. So Lucy, I'll start with you. Who did you choose as your standout batting performances in this week?
I looked at the Bears team. I'm like, you're shocked. I thought there was some stand up from them. Yeah, so I've gone with a Birmingham Bears player, your captain Will Rhodes. I thought his 79 off 40 was superb.
Lucy, that is an exceptional choice. It really is. Will Rhodes, what a knock that was on the Sky Sports cameras. Just for those who don't know the background of this, in 2019, we went to Grace Road. I was there at the match. It was Wednesday night, under the lights, at Grace Road on the Sky Sports cameras. And Colin Ackerman took 7 for 18. The best ever figures in T20 cricket. And that is something that has stayed with his squad, I think, since 2019. You could tell how much that meant to the team winning that game on Wednesday. But Will Rhodes, for all of the success that he's had in red ball cricket and white ball cricket in the 50-over format, in T20 cricket, even though he's our captain, he had never scored a half century before that night. And the way in which he came out, just bludgeoned and dispatched that ball to each and every single corner of Grace Road, was sensational. It really was. That set up the win for the Birmingham Bears in absolutely electrifying fashion. Lucy, what a choice. What a choice. That is a great, great choice. Obviously, as a Warwickshire fan, I can't disagree with that one at all, even though I didn't have it down for this week's standout batting performances. But yeah, Will Rhodes, captain fantastic, leading the Bears from the front. But Lucy, I've actually gone with a Yorkshire player for my selection. This should come as absolutely no surprise to anybody who watched this exceptional innings. And that is, of course, Johnny Bairstow's 112 from 51 balls against Worcestershire at Headingley. Now, this in itself, just hearing that, listeners, would be absolutely incredible. 112, 51 balls, a 219.6 strike rate. That in itself is terrifying. Then bear in mind the fact that Johnny Bairstow got injured early on in this innings. So he was basically doing this on one leg. He had a runner. It was absolute chaos out in the middle. And yet he was just dispatching 6 after 6, 4 after 4. This was a brutal display of Johnny Bairstow at his very, very best. It is, of course, a shame that he's injured. It does mean that he won't play as big of a role in England's upcoming white ball summer. But with that being said, that was just Johnny Bairstow to a T. Just so destructive, so elegant and majestic with his ball striking. 7 fours and 10 sixes. It is extraordinary. It really, really is. That's 88 runs coming from boundaries. Johnny Bairstow, take a bow. Absolutely remarkable this week. Lucy, what did you make of that performance by Johnny Bairstow?
When I see him play like that, I always think he's playing to prove a point. But obviously, he won't be playing in the white ball series with England. But I'll never forget when, obviously, he was dropped as keeper. I can't remember where we were now. And he went on to score 100, and he looked so aggressive raising his bat, and everyone was like, oh, he's definitely proving a point. And I think that's what happened again.
Maybe. Johnny Bairstow is renowned for that, isn't he? I still remember in 2019 with the World Cup, and I think it was Michael Vaughan before the New Zealand match, or it might have been the India match, actually, and he said that Johnny Bairstow hadn't been pulling his weight or something like that. And then he scored a century against India at Edgbaston, and then he scored another century at the Riverside against New Zealand to take England through. Yeah, Johnny Bairstow with a point to prove is an unstoppable force of nature, to say the least, isn't he, Lucy? Absolutely phenomenal player.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. Moving on from Johnny Bairstow, though, Lucy, that wasn't the only century in the North Group this week. And Leicestershire Foxes fans, I think you'll be very, very happy to see this guy in some form. And that is, of course, Josh Inglis. Now, Inglis this week, the Aussie opener, scored 103 and out from 62 balls against Northampton Wantage Road as the Foxes put up 200 for 2, which was absolutely remarkable. 13 fours, 4 sixes. For those who have seen Josh Inglis in the Big Bash for the Perth Scorchers, you'll know exactly what this guy's about. He gets the team off to an absolutely rapid start. He lays that foundation superbly. And to be fair to him, he's doing exactly that in a Leicestershire Foxes shirt this season. Lucy, how impressed were you with that incredible century from the imperious Aussie opener?
Yeah, I saw this on the just on the highlights, I think, on Twitter. I was quite impressed, to be fair. Again, a very powerful century scored.
Yeah, was indeed. Absolutely fantastic from Josh Inglis. It's great to see as well the overseas players, you know, making a mark on the T20 Blasts. Of course, it is a major part of recruitment. We had Dan Weston on our podcast, who is, of course, Leicestershire's recruitment advisor and analyst. And yeah, he said that Josh Inglis would be a decent signing. And yeah, he has proved to be so far. He's been absolutely fantastic, I think. And you look at his strike rate as well. Let me just get this up for the season, because Josh Inglis has been in scintillating form so far. He's currently the fifth leading run scorer in the T20 Blast with 258 runs, an average of 51.6 and a 181.69 strike rate. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Lucy, do you have any more standout batting performances from this week? Maybe aside from Bairstow, Inglis and Will Rhodes?
Not really, no. Mention. I'm sure you do.
I do have one final one, Lucy, and actually this is a question for this week's episode for yourself and of course the listeners out there. And the third and final one that I've selected for this week is Alex Hales's 96 against Durham at the Riverside. Now, of course, we could go into a lot of detail about the innings. Okay, Alex Hales, what a player. It was a brilliant innings. Alex Hales at his very destructive best. But the overarching question that I wanted to answer this week, of course, is about the whispers of Alex Hales' return to the England setup. Of course, this has been something that's been up for much debate. Should Owen Morgan forgive Alex Hales, given the incident that happened before the 2019 World Cup, the Bristol incident prior to that in 2017? We all know how capable of a batsman Alex Hales is in T20 cricket. He was the leading run scorer in the Big Bash for the Sydney Thunder. He was exceptional in the PSL for Islamabad and Karachi last season. And he's got off to a pretty good start this season as well for Notts. And in innings like that, 96 not out from 54 deliveries just shows the capabilities of this guy in full flow. So my overarching question, and one of the main questions for this week's episode, is about Alex Hales. Should Alex Hales at least return to the fringes of the England T20 squad? Lucy, what are your thoughts?
I think I've got this answer in two, kind of. But I think, I think he's good enough. And he's obviously on form. But I don't think England will select him. I don't think he'll play for England ever again, to be honest.
Really? Even if, let's say in the future, I know Alex Hales isn't exactly the young spring chicken anymore, let's face it. But let's say that England do move on at Morgan at some point. It is going to happen. Owen Morgan's going to retire and bow out in a whole host of glory, as he deserves to. But do you think that the door is completely shut to Alex Hales now? Or do you think if he continues to just plug away, keep on putting in these kind of performances, do you see a route back in, maybe even to the fringes? Or do you see that path as being completely closed now in an England shirt?
I think it's gone. As I said, I don't think he'll play again. To be honest, I was doubtful that Ben Stokes would play again. Obviously, when he had his big court case and everything. I don't think he'll play again.
Fair enough, Lucy. I mean, it will be difficult, of course, because there is a lot of dialogue, conversation and debate, in particular on social media, about Alex Hales and a return to the England foray. But I suppose at the moment in English cricket, the opening pairing is one of the most competitive positions in that England white ball squad at the moment. We've got Bairstow, we've got Roy, we've got Butler, we've got Phil Salt in fantastic form for Sussex. You've got a guy like Moeen Ali who can open. Sam Curran can be a pinch hitter as well. There's so many options for England to choose. I feel right now that Alex Hales has moved well down the order. But for me, again, you can just say it's because I'm a bit of a forgiving person. I wouldn't mind him being selected in a larger squad, maybe in the umbrella of an England T20 side, because we know what he's capable of. The fact is, Alex Hales, in form, is one of the most destructive batsmen on the entire planet. And that 96 this week really emulated and showed exactly what this guy is capable of and what he can do in T20 cricket. So, just an interesting and quite profound question. Just to kickstart today's episode, of course, Alex Hales' inclusion back in the England squad. Should it happen or not? Listeners, we'd love to know your thoughts as well at The Counter Cricket 2 on Twitter. Please do let us know. But Lucy, let's move on from batting performances in the North Group this week and let's talk about bowling. Now, Lucy, if I may, I would want to start for this one because there is a Birmingham Bears player finally in my performances for this week. And that is, of course, Jay Lintz, Linsanity, whatever you want to call him. Jake Lintott has been in absolutely brilliant, brilliant form. And this week he took 4 for 20 from 4 overs against the Steelbacks at Wantage Road. And I know we've just had a big dialogue there, Lucy, about Alex Hales and his potential return to an England shirt. I have another question for this week, and it is about Jake Lintott. Now, I put the stats up on Twitter the other day, and if we look at economies between the top 5 to top 10 spinners in English cricket right now, in particular leg spinners, Jake Lintott is well and above the most economic spinner in English domestic cricket right now in the T20 format. In addition to that, he's also up there as one of the top five leading wicket takers. Yes, he hasn't taken as many as a Matt Parkinson, for example, but he's still up there in the standings. Lucy, given what we've seen from Jake Lintott, he's something completely different, has a lot of control, a lot of good accuracy, and of course he's a left-arm wrist spinner. It's something that we don't see a lot in English cricket. Do you see a potential avenue for Jake Lintott to get into the England T20 side, even as a backup to an Adil Rashid, for example?
Yes, and I would really like it to see him play as well. As you said, he's, you know, coming through the ranks and scoring big. So, yeah. Oh, sorry, bowling. Bowling well. So, yeah, definitely.
Fair enough. Obviously, you can call me biased. We've had him on the podcast. He's one of our first ever guests. It would be incredible, wouldn't it? A guy who wasn't even contracted in 2020 comes through the Warwickshire second 11 at the age of 27, gets a nod purely because Jeetan Patel wasn't available for the start of the season. And then he'd get into an England shirt. It would be incredible. It really would. So who knows, listeners, Jake Lintott, potential England call-up at some point, maybe in the T20 World Cup. Hint, hint. Chris Silverwood, him and Danny Briggs, get them in there. But yeah, great, great start to the season for Jake Lintott. This 4-for-20 really just summarised what is so appealing about him as a bowler. And yeah, I think he has been absolutely exceptional this season for the Bear and Ragged staff. I cannot give him enough plaudits. But Lucy, that's enough of me, you know, rightfully praising Jake Lintott for this week. But Lucy, who do you say we all stand out bowling performances from this week? Which bowling performances really stood out to you, per se?
Only because I watched part of the game, but I've gone with Lockie Ferguson and Dom Best from the Yorkshire-Derbyshire game. So they went for the same, four overs, three wickets, 21 runs. I thought they both bowled really well, to be fair.
Absolutely. And Lucy, I actually selected Lockie Ferguson for this week. So 3-for-21. We all know what this guy's capable of. He's fiery, isn't he? He's a bit of an intimidating bowler, bowls electrifying speeds, bowls a fantastic bouncer, and then follows it up with a pinpoint accurate Yorker. How impressed have you been with Lockie Ferguson this season for Yorkshire?
I think he's definitely someone that they've, you know, worked hard over the winter and obviously lost last year as well, not playing much cricket, and he's come back on solid form to do that.
Absolutely, yeah. 3-for-21 for four overs. And also, I am glad you mentioned Dom Best, because we don't usually look at Dom as a T20 bowler, but he did bowl very well, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
100%. So yeah, Lockie Ferguson and Dom Best then. We'll do them almost as a tied one, I suppose, for this week then, in terms of standout bowling performances, because they were up there. And what a performance that was from the Vikings, a dominant display against the Falcons up in Leeds. But in terms of my third and final one for this week, I've gone for a Worcestershire player. And I've gone for a Worcestershire player who hasn't necessarily found his feet yet, I don't think, in the T20 Blast. But I think that this performance could be the catalyst for him having a decent season for the West Midlands side. And that is Ben Dwarshuis. Now, a lot of people, and I saw this on Twitter, I saw it on Facebook, I saw it on Instagram, of course you do, in comment sections. But in his first few games, Ben Dwarshuis wasn't taking wickets and he was going for a lot of runs. So there's a lot of comments saying, is this guy right for the team? Should he be starting above the young seamers that Worcestershire have present in their squad at the moment? But I feel like his 4-for-31 against Yorkshire at New Road, bear in mind that we all know what happened. Worcestershire got absolutely hammered in the end by Johnny Bairstow. But I just think that 4-for-31 was outstanding. I really do. For a guy who's struggled to find his feet so far in county cricket, as I said, he's gone for a lot of runs, hasn't really got the wickets that have been expected of him. Let's not forget that this guy is one of the leading wicket takers in the Big Bash for the defending champions, the Sydney Sixers. I just feel like this 4-for-31 showed the character of Ben Dwarshuis. Even in times of adversity and struggle, when he's not necessarily producing his best cricket, he comes out and takes wickets. And they were four good wickets, I must admit. I'll say that as a Warwickshire fan, and I know Rapids fans, that'll put a little bit of a grin on your face. But Ben Dwarshuis, I think this will be the catalyst for him now to go on and achieve greater things in a Worcestershire shirt. Lucy, would you agree with that? Or what have you made of Ben Dwarshuis so far for the Rapids?
Yeah, I think he's I followed Worcestershire a little bit, so yeah, it's nice to see other people because everyone just thinks, oh, you know, they've got Moeen Ali, and then no one else really thinks the rest of the team. But yeah, it's good to see other players, you know, pulling through the ranks and making scores and taking wickets. So yeah, it's good to see him doing that.
Absolutely, Lucy. Very, very well put. And interestingly, about Worcestershire, you mentioned about Moeen Ali. And I do just find it interesting because last year they finished bottom of the Central Group. And as we all know, Moeen Ali was in England in biosecure bubbles and they struggled without him. Now, this week, of course, Moeen Ali is going to the Sri Lanka series. So he'll be playing for England along the sides of Morgan, Roots, you know, all the usual suspects. So Worcestershire will be without Moeen Ali, which of course will be a tremendous loss. He is the talisman of their side. And I know this doesn't necessarily reflect with bowling performances, Lucy. It doesn't quite relate to this week's topic. But do you think that Ben Cox can pick up the slack effectively for Worcestershire? Or do you think that Moeen will be a massive, massive loss for the Midlands County? Do you feel like they will lose their momentum without their talismanic captain steadying the ship, per se?
I think they might come to a bit of a head loss with him gone, to be honest. But hopefully they will hold their own, really.
It'll be an interesting one, won't it? It will be an interesting one. Ben Cox, of course, is an experienced campaigner. He does show leadership qualities. But Moeen is just, for me, he is Worcestershire personified, almost. He really is. Like, when you think of the Rapids, you think of Moeen Ali. He is their shining beacon. He's the one who can change the entire outlook of a game in the space of a couple of overs with the ball or the bat. And even with his field placements, I still think back to the first game of the season that was televised, which was, of course, the Worcestershire versus Notts game on Sky Sports. And his bowling rotations were spot on. Okay, Moeen Ali isn't just a great bowler and a great batsman. He also has a fantastic cricket brain. And I just feel like Worcestershire are going to miss him tremendously. So we'll have to wait and see. We will have to wait and see whether or not we'll be back for the derby as well. That'd be interesting. Does have a knack of scoring runs against my county, unfortunately. But yeah, I feel like the Rapids could have a big loss there with the departure of Moeen Ali for the England T20Is. But moving on from our bowling performances of the week then, Lucy, let's have a look at our team of the week. Now, I'll let you start here, Lucy, with the North Group. Which team, which county really stood out to you in this past week?
Birmingham was up there. I know you'll be chuffed with this answer. And it might have been Yorkshire as well, actually. Obviously, Bairstow playing a big part in that. But yeah, Birmingham, second in the group, you said. And obviously, Yorkshire being first, I think they both have every right to be there.
Yeah. Let's face it, two excellent choices for this week. Both teams have been in great form. And my choice are the Bears. And you can call me biased, listeners. But before I go into my reasoning behind that, I did just want to give a massive, massive mention to Yorkshire. I think they've been absolutely outstanding. They really have. As you mentioned, Bairstow's been brilliant. Bess was brilliant. Ferguson. It's a shame that Jordan Thompson isn't playing at the moment, unfortunately. I mean, he had a fantastic start to the season. But Yorkshire this week were unbeaten. They absolutely hammered Leicestershire at Headingley. They annihilated Worcestershire by 94 runs at New Road. And then they completed the week by beating Derbyshire by 39 runs up in Leeds. But the only thing that I will say about Yorkshire, and again, I have got a lot of questions for this week, Lucy, apologies. But my question almost relates to Worcestershire and Moeen Ali. Do you think that Yorkshire can maintain their momentum without the likes of Bairstow, Milan, David Willey, for example? Do you think they have the squad depth to maintain that position at the top for the next 7 to 14 days?
I don't think they do. I think they'll be hit massively. Obviously, they've got a few players missing, so not just like the one. And obviously, that responsibility is shared throughout Bairstow and Milan. So, yeah, I think they will struggle to be honest.
Oh, that's interesting, Lucy. We will, of course, have to wait and see. I mean, Yorkshire do have some excellent batsmen. So, with the likes of Tom Coder, Cadmore, for example, who I guarantee will score runs against us on the 30th. I just know it's going to happen. He always loves scoring runs against the Bears, a bit like Moeen Ali. They are the two bogeymen of the Midlands County. Then you've got the likes of Adam Lythe, Harry Brook as well. He's been in fantastic form as well. You've got Will Frayne who can come into the mix. Joe Root playing as well. So maybe Yorkshire will be okay, but definitely those three in particular, Bairstow, Milan and Willey, will be a massive loss. And of course, we'll have to see if the Vikings can consolidate without their three talismanic players. But as I mentioned beforehand, the Bears are my county of the week. And yes, of course, I'm a Birmingham Bears fan. And yes, we did lose against Durham up at the Riverside. But before that, you have to think of Warwickshire's schedule for this season. In our first seven games, six of those games were away trips. The only county that we haven't played away that we're meant to play are Worcestershire. That's in July. So we had such a tremendously difficult start to the season. And yet we won every single game in the East Midlands. I can't even remember the last time that happened. I think in 2018, I'm pretty sure we lost in Derby. So that didn't even happen two, 3 years ago. We won at Trent Bridge, quite emphatically. We won at the Incora Ground in Derby. We won at Wantage Road for the first time since 2018. And then we just rounded it off with a fantastic clinical performance under the lights at Grace Road to exorcise the demons of 2019. So for me as a Warwickshire fan, and I imagine I speak for quite a few Warwickshire fans, this has been an excellent start to the season. We now have six games at Stadium where we have not lost this season so far. Yes, fair enough, the Lanx game was actually rained out as abandoned before any play happened, but we haven't lost a game at Edgbaston this season, and yet we've got six of our last seven games at home in front of one of the most vocal and raucous crowds in county cricket. It's going to be a tremendous boost. Now, yes, we aren't going to have Chris Wokes. Yes, we aren't going to have Ollie Stone, who, by the way, I need to mention wishing him a full and speedy recovery because he's a great player. And Lucy, I know you're laughing because you know how much I rate Ollie Stone, a generational fast bowler. He is going to be a big loss. And as I said, wishing Ollie the best of luck in his recovery. And then the third and final big omission for this week is actually Jake Lintott. So he's tested positive for COVID. He's actually self-isolating for the next two games. So again, we have got three massive players missing there. But I still think that this Warwickshire team has got enough within it. And that is a testament to the likes of Will Rhodes, to the likes of Sam Hain, Ed Pollock, Adam Hose, Carlos Brathwaite, who's been a really good addition, Danny Briggs, who, as we all know, is the T20 Blast all-time leading wicket taker. And of course, our coach, Mark Robinson. He's instilled this feeling of belief and confidence in this side. I still think we've got it within us. So my team for this week, Lucy, and yours, we're in agreement, unlike when I have Joe on the show, is the Birmingham Bears. So fair play, boys. Let's keep it up. Let's make finals day. Let's make it happen. But moving on from our team of the week then, Lucy, let's go to our under 23 player of the week. Now, this is always an interesting one. And Lucy, I'd like to know who you selected from the North group. Who did you go for?
I've gone with Dom Best. I mentioned his bowling earlier. I think he fits in because he is 23. So yeah, he's mine. I thought his bowling was phenomenal for the three of us above.
Fair play, Lucy. Fair play. I rate Dom Best. I mean, as some people will know who follow the Instagram, I defended him quite vociferously, shall we say, after the India series. It's great to see him finding some form, some rhythm, and just getting his mojo back in a Yorkshire shirt across formats. So great choice, Lucy. And yeah, Dom Best definitely deserving, I think, of that title for this week. In terms of my choice, though, and listeners, I apologise in advance because this is spoiling an upcoming podcast episode, but I've gone with Derbyshire's George Scrimshaw. Now, for those who know the story behind George, you can, of course, listen to that when the podcast is released. But this guy has had a horrible couple of years with injuries, just back-to-back-to-back setbacks in this game. And he's come back in 2021. He got a one-year deal over the winter by working hard at the Incora Ground. Ajmal Shahzad picked up on him and allowed him to have a second chance almost in county cricket and to come back into the circuit. And he has taken his chances with both hands. It's brilliant to see. He's taken eight wickets this season for the Falcons, considering that he has not played a competitive game before this year for about 2 years. It's absolutely staggering. He took 3 for 30 against Yorkshire, 3 for 36 against Notts, and 1 for 13 against Northants. I've been so, so impressed with him. I can't even begin to tell you because it's a great story. He's a very, very nice guy, as you'll be able to tell with the podcast. And it's just great to see someone who was highly touted as a youngster, someone who played for the England under-19s, someone who made a real impression during his very, very short time at Worcestershire. And he's finally back in county cricket and taking wickets, which is what he wants to do. It's something that he's dreamed of since being a child. So George Scrimshaw, yes, you can say it's a bit biased. Yes, he is an upcoming podcast guest. But yeah, Derbyshire's seam bowling sensation is my under-23 player of the week. But Lucy, moving on from our under-23 player of the week then, let's go on to our big one, the final one for the North Group, which is, of course, the main player of the week. Who took the award for you, Lucy? Who is the North Group player of the week for this week?
I've got to go with Johnny Bairstow. Obviously, his knock was absolutely amazing from the Yorkshire game. But yeah, it's a shame we won't see him in the White Ball Series of England.
A great choice there, Lucy, because I have also gone with Johnny Bairstow. Again, it's not often that we agree on things, Lucy, with regards to our cricket, but this week we have. So that is a fantastic, fantastic sign. And yeah, Johnny Bairstow, definitely head and shoulders above everyone else in the North Group with the bat in hand. That incredible century. I mean, we could keep on talking about it for hours. It was an absolutely remarkable knock. And of course, in addition to that against Leicestershire, he scored 82 as well. So he's been in great form. He's currently the leading run scorer in the T20 Blast with 295 runs at 73.75 with a 175.59 strike rate. He's just incredible. He really is. And I know that Joe Nutsy Nuttall, our Lancastrian co-host, would be singing Johnny Bairstow's praises for the remainder of the podcast. He loves Johnny Bairstow. Massive, massive fan of the Yorkshire batsman. But yeah, just brilliant. Brilliant this week. It's the only thing that I can use to describe him. He was just on another level. He makes ball striking look so easy in the T20 format. It's incredible. So yeah, Johnny Bairstow from the Yorkshire Vikings. He is TCCP North Group Player of the Week. So Lucy, before we move on to your county's group, the South Group, we do, of course, have our game to watch out for. So Lucy, I'll start with you. What do you think is this week's main game to watch out for the listeners at home?
Mine's got to be Yorkshire Vikings, Worcestershire Rapids on the 23rd. Really looking forward to it, obviously. Both quite high up in the table, which should be good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And will be very, very interesting because, as we've discussed in the podcast so far, both sides without their talisman players. So it will be interesting to see how the squad depth actually comes into effect and whether or not the Rapids can, of course, take revenge on what was an absolute annihilation at their home ground last week. I think that's a good shout. I really do. I think that's going to be a good game. Of course, there is that kind of pre-match setup as well, with the previous game being so one-sided. I think that's a good shout, Lucy. I really, really do. So yeah, Yorkshire versus Worcestershire, watch it. That's all that I'll say, along with every other county game that you can. And yeah, it should be a fantastic game of cricket indeed. In terms of my choice, I've gone with the East Midlands Derby. Because again, Notts won the original encounter, but you've got Derbyshire versus Notts at the Ancora. Derbyshire haven't really found their footing so far this season, but towards the end of this week, they have found a bit more momentum. As I mentioned, George Scrimshaw's back in the wickets, Lewis Deploy's back in the runs as well. And it is a bit of a shame that Derbyshire have had quite a few injuries this season. So it will be interesting to see if they can overcome their biggest rival, which is, of course, the Nottinghamshire Outlaws, who did beat them at Trent Bridge. I think that's going to be a really interesting game. And that is on the 25th. That's on Friday. So do watch out for that one as well. And then just one final game. I suppose I have to mention this because I was at the Riverside on Sunday watching Durham beat the Birmingham Bears. I think the Bears versus Durham on Saturday, the 26th of June, will be an absolute blockbuster. I really do. Both top three sides at the moment, at the time of recording this episode. Birmingham do need some revenge. We do. And yeah, it'll be just a great game. It really will. I think Ben Stokes might be playing as well for Durham. So yeah, another reason to watch that game. Should be an absolute blockbuster at Fortress Edgbaston on Saturday, the 26th of June. But moving on from the North Group for this week then, Lucy, let's head down to the South Group. And of course, as we started with the North Group, we have to talk about batting performances first. So Lucy, what were your standout batting performances from the South Group from this week?
Mine was Colin Ingram's from Glamorgan Middlesex game. A solid 75 from 40. He just hits the ball. Like, you just can't stop watching him. Absolutely phenomenal.
He is, yeah. Kingram for a reason, Colin Ingram. Very, very popular, of course, in Wales. Lucy, how good was it as well to see Nick Selman in the runs? He had that fantastic partnership with Marnus Labuschagne. How impressive was that for you as a Glamorgan fan?
Yeah, nice to see them in really together. Definitely, yeah. It's nice to see him like back, because he was obviously, when he first came, he was, you know, scoring runs and stuff, but he kind of just went under the radar a bit. But now he's obviously back, he's being talked about by the commentators, interviews and stuff, so yeah, still see him back.
Absolutely, yeah. To be fair, Glamorgan have been decent in the past week. I think it's just at key moments, they've just lost the rhythm a bit in a game. And I think that's been the determining factor for their position in the table this week. Only on 5 points. I think they could have been on 7, if not 9 points, actually, in a couple of the games if things would have gone their way. But that is the nature of T20 cricket, unfortunately. It's just how it is. It's very unpredictable, to say the least. Apart from Colin Ingram, Lucy, were there any other South Group performances that really took your eye this week?
Who else is in the run this week?
Tom Abel.
Oh, yeah, Somerset, yeah. I did see the scorecard, I think, when they played it. Yeah, I really like him as a player. I think he's just hitting kind of like peaks. I think England are looking at him. So hopefully we will see him.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And I think Somerset fans will share that sentiment, Lucy, because Tom Abel is more than able of producing runs in an England shirt. Apologies about the terrible pun there, listeners, but he's a great, great batsman. We know what he's capable of. And Joe always mentions this as well. He's also a more than capable bowling option. So for me, I think Tom Abel should be in and around that England squad, definitely in the discussions of becoming a fringe player, if not a potential outsider for an Ashes place later this year. But how he has not played in an England shirt alongside Sam Hain, who, of course, I'm going to mention 59.78 career list day average. How neither of those two have not even got a chance to play for the Three Lions and a Crown is ridiculous. It really is. Both are quality players, class batsmen, the talisman of their respective batting lineups. And they're just really good. Like, how have they not had a chance in an England shirt, Lucy? Can you give us any reasoning behind that? I mean, I certainly can't.
Yeah, I think I was asking myself this in 2019 about Tom Abel, and I obviously scored a lot more since then. So yeah, it is a question that we do need answered. Yeah,
absolutely, it does need answering, and hopefully he does get that opportunity, because Tom Abel is absolutely class. It's simple as that. And it's funny that you mention him, Lucy, because I also had him for one of my standout batting performances, and it was that 68 from 33 balls against Kent at Taunton. It's the only game that Kent have lost so far this season. And that was a major factor behind that loss. 7 fours, 3 sixes, a 206 strike rate. Brilliant. Brilliant from Tom Abel. It's the only word that I can use to describe it. It was just sensational to watch. It really was. And for those who haven't watched that innings, thoroughly, thoroughly recommend any highlights, if there are any out there, because that was a brilliant innings from Tom Abel. But aside from Tom Abel's knock, Lucy, in terms of my overall standout batting performance from this week, I've gone with Daniel Bell-Drummond. Again, someone who this season has impressed me at times, but didn't quite get the runs in the county championship that we would have expected from him. Let's face it, since like 2019, he is, again, one of Kent's talismanic batsmen. He's one of the best players down in the southeast. But this season hasn't really worked out the way in which he would have wanted it to. But this 88 from 44 balls against Essex, which had 4 fours, 6 sixes as well, was Daniel Bell-Drummond at his devastating best. It was just great, great cricket. Took the attack to the Essex seamers in scintillating fashion. Destroyed Simon Harmer as well, who I think had an economy rate of around about 12 runs and over. It was just brutal. That's the only thing that I can use to describe it, really. It was just a great display of power hitting and ball striking in the T20 format from Daniel Bell-Drummond. So had to mention that this week. Again, talking of strike rates, that's a nice solid 200.00 strike rate. Always like to see that in T20 cricket. So yeah, Daniel Bell-Drummond, definitely one of the standout batting performances from this week. And in terms of our third and final one for this week, I've gone with Joe Cracknell, Lucy. Okay, the 21-year-old batsman from Middlesex. We mentioned right at the start of the show about Middlesex not necessarily finding the momentum and rhythm in this year's competition. But Joe Cracknell has been a real, real bright spark, I think, for the Saxes in this year's competition. And his 77 from 43 balls against Hampshire in that incredible match, which saw that last over six as well from Chris Green to get Middlesex off of the mark in this year's competition. It's just a great, great knock. It really was. 9 fours, 3 sixes, displayed a lot of elegance, class and majesty in that innings. Lucy, how impressed have you been with Joe Cracknell so far this season, considering the fact that he's only actually played three games so far?
Yeah, if you look at his stats, obviously three games and what he's done is quite impressive. Yeah, and he's definitely impressed me. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant batsman. Definitely someone to watch out for, not just for this season, but of course beyond that. I've been so impressed with him. I really have. He has left a lasting impression on the cricket connoisseur. So Joe Cracknell, Crackers, as they call him down in Middlesex, definitely someone to watch out for, and maybe, just maybe, might make another appearance in one of our next segments, shall we say. Hint, hint. But moving on from batting performances, Lucy, let's go on to our bowling performances. What were your standout bowling performances from the South Group this week? I mean, there were so many fantastic ones to choose from, but which ones really stood out to you, Lucy?
One of mine was Tim van der Gooten, for Morgan, obviously. Again, sorry, listeners.
There's a pattern here, isn't there?
I thought he bowled very well against Middlesex, and obviously Glamorgan won as well. So,
there
happy
it is.
With that result. Very happy with that game, yeah.
I knew that wasn't the end of the Glamorgan players. As soon as you mentioned Colin Ingram's name, I knew it was going to pop up. It's like me with the Bears and Joe with the Lightning. There's always going to be a little bit of county bias in there. But fair enough, Lucy. Yeah, Tim van der Hooten always delivers, doesn't he, for Glamorgan? Such a reliable seamer for the Welsh county.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. I haven't actually selected Tim for this week's performances because there was actually a 5-wicket haul in the South Group this week. And it was from a Kent Spitfires player. Of course, Kent fans, you're going to know exactly who I'm talking about. And that is, of course, Matt Milnes. Now, these were his career best figures in T20 cricket. 5 for 22 from 3.4 overs against Lucy's County of Glamorgan at Sophia Gardens. Now, Matt Milnes, for me, I look at him as more of a Red Bull player. He's been absolutely fantastic for the South East County since 2019 in particular. That dynamic duo of him and Harry Podmore really does stand out to me. But I never really thought of him as a white ball option. And yet this week, he's been absolutely sensational with a capital S. He really has. Second 5-wicket haul of the season in this year's tournament, behind only Chris Green, of course, who took the first one this year. And it was just a great display of bowling. Didn't overcomplicate things. There wasn't a ton of variation. He was just bowling into the wicket, keeping things simple. And it paid off in fantastic fashion. 5 for 22, killed the game off. Matt Milnes, take a bow. Absolutely brilliant.
He had a beautiful cotton bowl as well, didn't he?
Yes.
It was Colin Ingram, no. I remember seeing that. That was nice, yeah.
It was a brilliant bowling display, wasn't it, Lucy? I know it was against your county, but I think you do have to respect it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, Matt Milnes, definitely my standout bowling performance from this week in the South Group. Then in terms of my next one, I've gone with one which actually happened last night down at the Oval, and that was Sam Cook's 4 for 15 from 3.4 overs against Surrey. Now, this was Surrey's first loss of the season, so this is massive, actually. Surrey, who were, of course, our team of the week in the first week's wrap-up show. But these, again, were career best figures for Sam Cook, one of our former podcast guests. He bowled Jamie Smith with an absolute jaffer of a late in-swinger. I didn't even know you could generate that much swing with a white cricket ball. It was brilliant to watch, just castled him, all ends up. It was a brilliant delivery. And then with Gareth Batty, he deceived him with a cleverly disguised slower ball Yorker, which was just brilliant. And again, Sam Cook, Lucy, do you see him as a bona fide white ball option, or do you see him as more of a red ball option? How do you see him as a seam bowler for Essex?
Till his game and till his T20 kind of form, I would have gone with red ball. But yeah, he's piping up really, isn't he, with the white ball. So yeah, hopefully we will see more of him and he'll become more of a, well, not all-rounder, but, you know, a format all-rounder then.
A three-format player.
Yeah.
Shall we say,
yeah. The word, yeah.
No, fair enough, Lucy. I would agree. And who knows, actually, this could be, a catalyst for maybe putting Sam Cook into more of a, as you said, an all-format player. But in 18 T20 matches so far, he's taken 19 wickets at 24.1 with an 8.37 economy rate. And I just look at this season, when you think that that's his career so far, and he's got that many wickets. 11 of those have come so far this season. He's actually the leading wicket taker in this year's Blast alongside Logan van Beek and Naveen Ul-Haq. So who knows, 2021 could be the year that Sam Cook does make that next step up to becoming an all-format player for Essex. Who knows? But he's had an absolutely fantastic start to life there so far this season. And then in terms of our third and final one, Lucy, I've gone with Stephen Finn. And again, this is against Glamorgan. Apologies, but 4-19, 4 overs. Got Marnus, David Lloyd, Dan Dalfett and Rory Smith out. 4 massive wickets there, of course, Marnus being Glamorgan's talisman. I was just really impressed. I'm going to be honest. I know that, of course, Glamorgan did emerge victorious. And Lucy, I know you got a nice big smile on your face there. But 12 dot balls for Stephen Finn. Again, someone who a lot of people do mark as a Red Bull specialist. Of course, did play for quite a few years in an England shirt. But I think he's quite good in T20 cricket. What do you make of him, Lucy, with that extra bit of pace and bounce that he generates?
Yeah, definitely. I think with that Glamorgan game as well, he was getting people out, obviously, early on in their innings. So, you know, he got Roger Smith in. And he was on nothing off like one ball. So, yeah, I think they brought him on at the right time.
Absolutely, yeah. They did. And when we say they, of course, that was Owen Morgan. We talk about clever bowling rotations with Moeen Ali earlier. Owen Morgan, the master. The brain behind England's, of course, 2019 World Cup winning side. Again, with Middlesex, that's going to be interesting as well, isn't it? No Owen Morgan. Should be interesting, considering that they haven't had the greatest starts to the season. Can they salvage something from the South Group this year? I suppose we'll just have to wait and find out. But Lucy, moving on from our individual performances of the week then, let's look at our team of the week. And Lucy, I'll start with you for this one. Which county really stood out to you? Who would you say was this week's team of the week in the South Group?
For me, personally, Glamorgan, obviously. But I thought Kent did very well as well. Obviously, they hammered us by like 40 runs. So, yeah, they deserve to be at the top of the table, to be honest.
Yep. And Lucy, again, I would agree with you. I've gone with the Kent Spitfires. Now, considering that most of the South Group games were unfortunately washed out, we've had so much rain, haven't we, here in England and Wales in the past 7 days. But considering that they did play 3 games and they lost to Somerset, fair enough. We've mentioned Tom Abel's incredible 68 from 33 balls. But as you mentioned, they completely dispatched Glamorgan by 40 runs in Cardiff. And then the big one of the week was that game against Essex. They scored 236 runs. They completely annihilated the 2019 champions at the Spitfire Ground. Kent are a real, real interesting side, aren't they, Lucy? Would you say that they're quote-unquote favourites in a South Group with the likes of Sussex, Surrey, for example, are a very, very strong side? Do you think that Kent are maybe dark horses for this year's competition? Do you think they could go on to win the entire competition?
Yeah, I think they'll definitely get to finals day, absolutely. Well, I don't know, looking at the North Group, there's some strong teams in there, so we'll see. It'd be nice to see them, obviously, they are dark horses, so yeah, it'd be nice to see them probably push on to win, but we'll see.
We will see indeed, Lucy. Who knows? It could be Glamorgan, it could be a certain Midlands county that begins with W, that isn't Worcestershire. We'll have to wait and see, of course, who does emerge victorious in the group stages and, of course, advances to finals day. The fact that we're only halfway through the group stage as well, there's so much cricket to be played. Anything can happen. T20 cricket is such a strange and unpredictable format. Who knows? Who knows? And that is the beauty of the 2021 Vitality T20 Blast. So yeah, TCCP South Group Team of the Week are the Kent Spitfires. But moving on from our Team of the Week then, Lucy, let's talk about our Under-23 Player of the Week. Now, I'm really interested to see who you've gone with, actually, Lucy. So who's your choice for this week's award?
So I've had to choose someone who actually is Under-23 because the first person I chose was 24, who was Dan Dalfett for Glamorgan, who bowled well this week. But it is Joe Cracknell from Middlesex. Obviously, he scored runs against us. Well, I say us, my other second county, Gloucestershire. He scored a solid 67 off 41, and he scored a total of 148 in 3 games. So yeah, he's only 21, so he's doing very well, I think, for his county.
He is indeed. He looks like a great prospect, doesn't he, Lucy? I mean, I've chosen Crackers as well, Joe Cracknell from Middlesex. As you mentioned, 148 runs in three games, 18 fours and 5 sixes. And yes, fair enough, Radlett isn't the biggest ground that you're going to play at in England and Wales, but he's been clearing the fence by quite some distance. They haven't just been creeping over. I reckon even in the big grounds, he would definitely clear the fence. So, again, Middlesex fans, someone to watch out for. Definitely. Such an impressive batsman, isn't he, Lucy?
Yeah, definitely. I think Owen Morgan in the squad as well, I think he's definitely keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, 100%. And also, what a mentor as well. To have guys like him, Paul Sterling in there as well, John Simpson, who's a county stalwart. Yeah, Joe Cracknell could be a very, very interesting player to watch out for heading into the next 3, 4, even 5 years in a Middlesex shirt. So we'll be keeping definite close tabs on his progress in 2021 and beyond. And hopefully, Joe, he can keep up his form in this year's competition. But moving on from our under-23 player of the week, who for this week's South Group is, of course, Joe Cracknell from Middlesex, Lucy. Who would you say was the South Group player of the week for you? And are they a Glamorgan player?
Yeah, I feel like because I've missed standout way out, I'm going to go with him. I feel a bit sorry for him now. but yeah, standout way. I thought he's bowled very on the mark, quite solid this week. And obviously he's helped out when he can with the bat. And when we see more games being played, when it actually is dry, we will see more of him, definitely.
100%, Lucy, 100%. Fun fact about Dan Douthwaite as well, just a bit of TCCP trivia. He was actually our first ever guest in episode 3, when myself and Joe sounded a lot more different. I spoke at a million miles an hour, and you could barely hear me. And I don't know how Dan actually put up with us, and has still followed the account since. But yeah, Dan Douthwaite, great all-rounder, simple as that. Very, very good with the bats, great bowler as well. He's had Joe Root's number this year, actually, in county championship cricket as well. Fair play, Lucy, fair play. I suppose making up for the omission from under 23 player because he is 24, of course, in 2021. But in terms of my player of the week, I could have gone with Matt Milnes. I could have, because that 5 was absolutely extraordinary. It really was. Take a 5-wicket haul in T20 takes a lot of luck, it takes a lot of skill, and it takes a lot of bravery in terms of your variations and your style of bowling. But this week, I've gone with Sam Cook from Essex. I really have, because we've already had this discussion, haven't we, Lucy, about the evolution of Sam Cook as a T20 bowler. But he doesn't overcomplicate things. That's what I like about him. He just hits the deck. He almost bowls not the same length, but a similar length that he bowls in Red Bull cricket. Obviously, a bit more straight. There's a little bit more variation to it. I mentioned about the slower Yorker. But he just keeps things so simple. And it's worked for him so far this season. We look at this week, and we've already mentioned the 4 for 15 that he got against Surrey at the Oval. But even aside from that, there was 1 for 33 against Kent at Canterbury. Now, that in itself may not seem, you know, absolutely mind-blowing. 1 for 33, it's an 8.25 economy rate. It's only one wicket. Until you realise the context of that bowling performance. By the way, he also scored 18 runs with a bat in that game. But the context behind that performance was the wicket was Daniel Bell Drummond, the man who we mentioned beforehand, scoring 88 from 44 balls. If you also have a look at the scorecard from that game and look at the Essex bowlers, they got absolutely obliterated by the Kent batsmen in that game. You had Aaron Ajar going at 10.75 and over. Jack Plum went at 12.5s. New Zealand international bowler James Neesham went at 14.33 and over. Simon Harmer, who, as we all know, is one of the most prolific wicket takers in the entire circuit, went at 12 and over, and Paul Walter went at 10.5. So for Sam Cook, the only Essex bowler in that game to go at an economy rate under 10, I think is staggering for someone who isn't even considered as a T20 specialist. He's just been in a great vein of form, and it's fantastic to see if you're an Essex fan. And then, as if that wasn't enough, just to kind of cap it all off for this week, also took none for 21 for 4 overs against Sussex down in Chelmsford. So again, what is that as a economy rate? 5.25. So yeah, a very, very good week indeed for Little Chef, as they know him down in Essex. So yeah, Sam Cook, definitely, definitely TCC's South Group Player of the Week. So, Lucy, before we give our closing thoughts for this week's episode, we do, of course, have our games to watch out for. So, Lucy, what do you say the standout game will be this week for the listeners to watch out for in the South Group?
I think, for me, definitely, London Derby. Obviously, one's quite high up in the table, one's at the bottom, but I still think it should be a good game. I think there's always a good atmosphere at that type of game, so yeah.
100%, Lucy, 100%. I've got it written down as well. Surrey versus Middlesex at the Oval. It's going to be such an interesting game, that, because as we all know with derbies, it doesn't necessarily get determined by your position in the table. And we saw that in the county championship earlier this year, actually. Middlesex beat Surrey. There's always something happening in the London Derby. We saw it earlier as well in the T20 Blast with Will Jacks's 70 from 24 deliveries. You had Paul Sterling getting a rapid 56 as well. Anything can happen when it comes to Surrey versus Middlesex. It's a massive, massive game with so much at stake as well. Because if Surrey do lose, they're going on a little bit of a downward streak, which can kill your momentum and can really disrupt things as the tournament progresses. On the flip side of that, if Middlesex can beat their eternal rivals from the other side of the River Thames, it could kickstart their entire campaign. But they will, of course, be without Owen Morgan, and that is going to be massive. It's going to be huge for the Saxes. So that is going to be a fantastic game. I cannot wait for that as well, Lucy. Completely share your sentiment with that. Definitely the standout game in terms of the occasion, the atmosphere, and I suppose the deeper meaning behind that game. And then just in terms of one final game, which I think everybody should be looking out for as well, it's a game that I absolutely love, Sussex versus Surrey at Hove on the 27th. I think that is going to be brilliant. We all know how partisan the crowd are down in Hove. If things go their way, it's going to be absolutely bouncing. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Sussex, who are currently unbeaten as well at the time of recording today's episode, versus Surrey. I think that is going to be a fantastic game down on the South Coast. And then just one final game, Lucy, I suppose, for you personally, and I suppose for Glamorgan and Gloucestershire fans, is, of course, the Lucy Rees Derby, which is Gloucestershire versus Glamorgan, which is, of course, later this week, Lucy. I have to ask, who do you think is going to win that one, actually?
I think Gloucestershire will. I think they've been, like, kind of dark horses this week. Just on and off. But, yeah, they are above Glamorgan. But it'd be nice to see Glamorgan pull it back and win, seeing as I am in current residence in Wales. So, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Lucy. If Glamorgan do it, though, how excited will you be? How happy will you be if they can pull it off?
Yeah, I think I'll be a bit ecstatic. Like, look out for my Twitter. I think there will be a few tweets going on and off, to be honest. But, yeah, we'll be looking forward to that one.
Yeah, fair enough. Should be a great game, actually, shouldn't it? Gloucestershire's seam bowling attack versus Marnus and Colin Ingram. I think that'll make for some fantastic entertainment. So, yeah, Lucy, I think that's a good way to actually end today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. Just before we end, though, do we have anything to kind of just wrap up on? Any final thoughts? Or do you think we've covered everything for this week?
I think we've covered everything, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
The following week ahead of cricket, really.
Absolutely, yeah. Should be a brilliant week. As we mentioned throughout today's podcast, there's been a lot of standout performances. There's a lot of good games to watch out for. And to think we're only halfway through the group stage games as well, there's still a lot of cricket to come. So definitely, if you can go to the games, go to them, get tickets, be there and actively support the respective counties. Keep watching the live streams. The figures have been absolutely sensational. I was looking at Lancashire and Notts' one. It attracted almost 500,000 unique viewers, which is just staggering. So great, great numbers. Continue to watch it, guys. Please, please do. Continue to support your counties. And I suppose just one final thing from me, of course, is also England versus Sri Lanka. Should be a great game. That actually starts tomorrow, doesn't it? The 23rd of June. England, of course, with maybe some surprising inclusions. I think Chris Wokes is definitely one of them, considering that he doesn't really have a lot of T20 experience in the past 3 years or so. In fact, last week played one of his first games for the Bears since 2018. But yeah, should be a good series. That, and fingers crossed, England can, of course, get the dub and win the series. In fact, Lucy, before we do end, series predictions, what do you think scoreline-wise? I'm going to go 2-1 England.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that. Win the first, probably lose the second and then pull it back in the third.
Well, there we go, folks. And of course, if you do disagree or agree with us, please do let us know at the County Cricket 2 on Twitter for daily podcast and county cricket updates. But that is it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for today's weekly wrap-up show. So to all of the listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.